All right, we are live. It's Sunday night, and you know what time it is. It's time to talk recruiting. Big weekend. Let's get it.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. Happy Sunday evening. It's another edition of Live with C5, and we're going to talk recruiting. I talked about it last night, that tonight would be all about recruiting. I'm hearing some popping. Hold on one second. Let me get my game fixed right here. Yeah, we're going to talk recruiting tonight and have some fun, take some questions, and overall just have a blast. But before we get started, got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. I hope you got your account set up and you went ahead and pounded that over 7.5 wins for the season for the Auburn Tigers. If you didn't, you still got time to set up your account. Get that double up deposit up to $500. Use coupon code next round, one word, and double that money up. Get in the casino, do a little bit of everything, all kind of ways to bet, first half, live, all that good stuff. You still got time to take advantage and have fun this season. Mybookie.ag. All right, let's get into it. It was a big weekend. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. There was talent everywhere. There was five stars. There was all kind of folks here, 2025 kids, 2026 kids, and it turned out to be sort of like a little mini Big Cat weekend. Kids turned out for the Alabama A&M game, and hey, so did the crowd. So did the crowd, and then so did the team. You did what you had to do in front of them. I think that a lot of them were impressed with the product on the field. But hey, let's jump into the actual recruiting aspect. Early, it started early that predictions started coming in like crazy. My Papa Tom, somebody called me a son of a Tom, and I thought that was absolutely hilarious. Tom Loy put in that a crystal ball for a flip, the first one to go ahead and put a crystal ball pick of a flip in for Naheem offered to flip to Auburn. That kind of got the day kicked off, and then it was Elijah Melendez getting a Fong bomb to Auburn. Then today it was Usman Chroma getting a Fong bomb to Auburn. It was just like pick after pick. It was a great, great weekend. If you go to 247 and you go look at like latest crystal ball picks, it's just a bunch of AUs. It's a bunch of folks putting in predictions for AU. Had somebody, we make the meme about calling Tom Loy. I said Tom Loy is my dad. Somebody told me something really funny at the tailgate. They said Tom Loy is either going to love you or he's going to file a restraining order, and there's no in between. Like, there's absolutely no in between. It's going to be one or the other. There's no just kind of like it. He's either going to love it or he's going to hate it, and he's going to file a restraining order on you. But regardless, I love Tom Loy, and Tom Loy is the greatest Auburn insider since June has popped around. Tom Loy has become the greatest Auburn insider in the history of recruiting. So, I was on the field early, saw tons of guys, the interaction, but the big name on campus was Deuce. That was the one. Taylor Corn got one of the first videos confirming he was here, him walking into the stadium. There was a ton of excitement. He brought his whole family. I mean, you're talking taking pictures of much more than two or three people. He had a lot of folks there. I think mom, dad, uncles, sister, a lot of different folks that came with him. I think the thought was this weekend was going to be big. You're going to have family in. It's going to be a big crescendo. And I think they kind of were hoping they would go ahead and be able to push and get it locked down this weekend. But barring something happening this evening, which I don't see it happening, hell, it could happen during the show, but I don't expect it to. It does look like he's going to hold off until it does look like he's going to hold off to next Saturday, which was one of the things. There was split information. You had 247 saying it was going to be by the end of this weekend. You had On3 saying it was going to be at you know, this next weekend. He's going to wait until after his rivalry game. And that does seem to be the case. His theory is, I don't want to take away anything from the rivalry game. It's a big game, and I don't want to have any discussions about my recruitment, and I don't want to have interviews talking about why I flipped. I don't want to have other schools calling me. I just don't want to do anything until we get at least past that game. You know, whatever. I get it, I guess. I think that whatever he told Hugh, though, they met one-on-one right after Tiger Walk. Whatever he told Hugh made him comfortable enough to be able to be okay with waiting at least one more week. And at this point, Auburn doesn't really have a whole lot of more options. Deuce kind of has all the leverage. I guess you could always pivot back to Juju at this time, because it looks like Juju is going to be sitting with his, sitting with his hat in his hand, not anywhere to go, because, you know, USC is trying to flip Hassan Longstreet, not going to go to Colorado, and everybody else has basically told him, no, we're not going to do what you're asking. So, I guess you could always pivot back to him, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think Auburn feels confident. I feel confident. There's a lot of other things going on behind the scenes that would make it it would make it really tough for him not to end up at Auburn. So I'm just going to leave it at that. I think that when, if you're wondering when could Deuce commit, when is Deuce going to commit? I don't think it's going to happen this week. I think it's going to happen after his game, either Friday or Saturday. And there's some whispers that he could be back again Saturday for the Cal game. I mean, we got 5 in a row at home. I would imagine he'd be at a lot of them if he actually does flip like he says he is, or he's at least told people on Saturday. I think he'll probably show up at several of the games. But that's the deal with Deuce. Look, everybody, Deuce was interacting as if he was an Auburn commit. Everybody was hanging around him as if he was an Auburn commit. He has sort of like this aura about him. Everybody was kind of just huddled up, high-fiving him and everything as if he was already a commit. I think he's probably talked to a lot of them and told them he's coming. Early when the team came out after Tiger Walk, you know, they do their field walk or whatever, then they go pray and do all the stuff, then they go back in and get dressed. Hugh had sort of like a powwow huddle up right by the goalposts, and he had his hand on Deuce. So I couldn't hear what he was saying, but he had his hand on Deuce and he was talking to everybody else. So regardless, it does seem like that it's moving in that direction. And again, if I could put a percentage on it, it's like 99.9. It's really no reason. Ole Miss is not in this whatsoever. I don't care what their message board folks say. I don't care what anybody says. There's some things that happen on his visit that we'll maybe have a fireside chat afterwards, after it's official. But I don't see Ole Miss being a player in this whatsoever. It's going to be Auburn. And, you know, again, hopefully the timeline works out and he goes ahead and pulls the trigger like he says he is on Saturday. I think there's a lot of folks that are watching. There's a lot of other commits this could possibly open the door for. I don't think it shuts I think it opens the door for Caleb Cunningham. I think it definitely helps with Andrew Babalola, who I feel like you may lead for a little bit right now. All those guys, I think it definitely helps to go ahead and get Deuce on. And I would not be shocked if Deuce is not already talking to those guys saying, hey, I'm going to Auburn. I'm doing this thing right. Another thing, a little sidebar, Notre Dame really rushed him into a commitment, back whenever he committed. So I think he's just really taking his time now, making sure this is the right decision. There's a lot, again, Auburn has done so much, prepared so much for this. It's spectacular what the alignment has been able to do to get these guys, to get the family on board, to get Deuce on board. It's really been impressive. So again, don't panic. He's not going to commit tonight. He's not going to commit on Monday unless something changes. But I do think he's going to be a Auburn commit. You're going to have your 5-star quarterback on Saturday, possibly Friday evening, but I think definitely by Saturday. And again, keep your eyes peeled because he could be back in Auburn again on Saturday. But Deuce was not the only big-time name that was in Auburn. You had Usman Chroma that was also here that has always been Auburn's top bell cow running back that they've wanted You love Alvin. Alvin has a skill set, and then Usman has another skill set, and he's just a bigger kid. I was standing right next to him. He's every bit of 6'1", 6'2", 200 plus pounds. Alvin is great. He's just not that. He's just not that. And Alvin is a little bit more. He can run over you, but Alvin can do a lot more stuff like catch balls out of the backfield. He can do things in the passing game and still be big enough to be able to pass block, pick up blitzes, and things like that. In Alvin's game this past Friday, there was a 2-minute drill where they were trying to, you know, they were getting blown out early and they were trying to get the ball scored before half. And Alvin caught a little pass out of the backfield, made a couple of guys miss and had a big chunk play, one of the bigger chunk plays of the first half for him. So, like, he's shown he can be able to be a multiple tool back, be able to catch balls and things like that, where Usman is going to be your Jarquez. He's going to be your first down between the tackles, run over you, run around you, run through you. He can also catch out of the backfield, but he can give you those tough yards in between the tackles and be able to absorb the beating that the SEC gives you. College football in general, he's just got that kind of body that would be able to take the pounding. So this is an incredible recruitment, and I don't know all the details on how this thing flipped so hard. But if you're a member at thebarnauburn.com, we mentioned, I want to say it was probably towards the beginning of this past week, maybe over the weekend, the weekend prior, said, hey, something is brewing here. Something's happening here with this Usman Khroma thing. I think this is one we need to pay attention to. He was set to commit to Florida State on the 17th, August 17th. That was, I know that we joke about people that talk about this with Deuce. Oh, Deuce was supposed to commit on the 8th. If he gets past the 8th, it's good for Auburn, or it's good for Notre Dame. That's not this thing. That's not the case here. He was going to commit to Florida State. Florida State was like, it was way, way out of it. Auburn was way out of it. It was 100% Florida State. And then all of a sudden, something happened, and now I'm going to be honest. I don't know that Florida State is even in the picture anymore. What has happened over the last 2 weeks? I have no idea. But about the last week and a half, Auburn has continued to steady pick up steam. And now it seems like, Auburn's a leader. You had Steve Wiltfong put in a crystal ball pick for him, or Fong bomb of Khroma to end up at Auburn. And also, I think he just came out and said it in an interview. I think he came out and said, hey, Auburn's my leader. Auburn's standing out right now. So, my, how the tables have turned there. And I think that one is one that could end in 2 weeks or less. I think that is September is shaping up to be a monumental, another monumental recruiting month for Auburn. I think it's going to kick off with Deuce. And I think you got Khroma right there. You got Elijah Melendez that's looking to possibly go in the next 10 to 14 days. You got Andrew Babalola that's looking to go pretty quick. You could almost finish your class in this month. And how much fun would that be? Because every single one of the guys we just mentioned are big game hunting. And then obviously Naheem offered as well. We're going to talk about him in just a second. But yeah, Usman Khroma comes in, and it's one of those things where you'd heard the whispers. And again, if you're on the barn, auburn.com, you'd already known this. You heard the whispers, and then all of a sudden, boom, he comes in, he names Auburn his leader, and he gets a crystal ball to Auburn. So I think that's absolutely fantastic. You put Khroma and Alvin in the same backfield, that's trouble. That is a lot of trouble. That is a lot of stress for defenses across the country, because those two kids can play and they can do different things. And then the last big visitor we're going to talk about for a second, and before we jump into the questions, was Naheem Offord. Naheem Offord, I'm going to be honest. So we talked about it on the barn a little bit earlier in the week. Be on the lookout. He could visit this weekend. It is announced that he's going to come, and then nobody really saw him pregame. Nobody really saw him. And then there was actually some whispers that he didn't actually make it. And that was worrisome, because nobody had laid eyes on him, at least dudes that were on the field that I was talking to. but he definitely, it was confirmed, he definitely made it in. He gave some quotes on it on his way out. A lot of these guys spent the night. I mean, Chroma spent the night. I think he left this morning. But yeah, so Nyheim Offord got the, from what I understand, the VIP treatment. Like this was the visit to close it down with him. And I think he brought his grandmother, who is very, very key. I think he actually lives with his grandmother. Brought his grandmother, and I think they knocked it out of the park. And I'm gonna be honest, I think that one is a is on flip watch. I think you can go ahead and put him on flip watch. Dad Tom Loy already told you to put him on flip watch. I think that's one that could actually happen pretty quick. I think everybody we've just mentioned is probably going to happen in September. I think it's going to happen before Auburn hits that road stretch where they have to go on the road basically for the whole month of October. I don't think there's a home game in October. So you want to try to get as much done now because you're not going to be able to have any visits hardly in October. So you want to go, and you're going to be doing a lot of traveling, which is going to cut down on your recruiting time. So it's big, it's important, and all these guys, it seemed like, are tracking towards landing at Auburn. And if you do the math, okay, we've poor Taylor, she gets, we have a thread on the barn where it's like she's working the 247 class calculator, and then once we catch a Fong bomb, everybody's like, okay, do the class calculator, tell us where we end up when we got that guy, tell us where we end up when we get that guy. And I think if you add Chroma and Deuce over the next 2 weeks, that puts you up, I think, as high as like number two or number three in the country. And then there's a really good pathway to that number one class. And I think it's going to, start to unfold. It's going to really start to unfold once Deuce pops this weekend. Had a lot of people asking, is there anybody that could go this week? I don't think anybody in the 2025 class is going to go this week leading up to it. It could, I mean, again, you never say never, but I'll just say that if it does happen, it's something that materializes really quickly, kind of like Nate Marshall out of the blue. Everybody else has sort of said that their little time frame that they're looking for, and it's all around that week to 2 weeks. Is when those guys are looking to go ahead and shut it down, and hopefully they end up shutting it down with Auburn. So again, crazy that this happened on Alabama A&M. Again, if you're trying to show Deuce something, Hugh did it. Hey, we're going to sling it around. Peyton's not thrown for this much the whole time he's been at Auburn. We played an FCS opponent last year in Samford, and we blew the doors off the performance that we had against Samford. He threw for 322 versus he threw for 40 or 50 more yards than he did last year. He only threw one touchdown. He threw two interceptions too, although I think one was like a Hail Mary at the end of a half. And he threw four all in the first half. He threw 16 touchdowns all last year. He threw four in the first half. If you want to try to convince somebody, hey, this is a different offense, hey, this is a different deal, that's the way you do it. You go ahead and shut it down and put the points on the board early in the first half. So, again, great, great recruiting weekend. A lot of great stuff, a lot of great news. I mean, it's really hard to find something to be negative about on the recruiting trail right now. It's hard to find somewhere where you're not confident in a guy you're after that you're not really confident in. And hopefully Deuce goes ahead and gets the trigger pulled this weekend. This coming up weekend, and then we can get the ball rolling again. We've been kind of on a little bit of a dry spell since heck, Nate Marshall commit or flip just a couple of not very long ago, but we're ready to go on another little run, go ahead and finish this class out, because I think that's something that Hugh really wants to do. Before we go to the comments, obviously I want to go ahead, I'm feeling a little tired, I'm going to go ahead and pound my great 5-hour energy. Goes down like milk, so smooth. And we're ready to go, and we're going to ready jump in the chat right off the bat. Thomas Jones with the super chat. Really love my man Thomas Jones. We text quite often, good friend of mine. Let's go ahead, and he did the super chat, and he has a really good question. It's not recruiting related, but I think it's a good question. Are we witnessing the end of the goofy Dabo era at Clemson because he lives in 1990 and refuses to adapt to the new age of college football? Look, one thing about Nick Saban that I always thought was very impressive was his ability to push the envelope and adapt and change. You know, he went from the ground and pound ball control, really the way Kirby coaches right now, to, hey, I can get these really elite wide receivers and I can get really good quarterbacks. Let's get it and let's just outscore everybody. Then all I got to do is have a couple of stops a game and there's nobody that'll be able to hang with us. And then, you know, on the recruiting trail and this and that, the only thing he wasn't really willing to do, I don't think, was really work the transfer portal or really work the NIL. I think that was something that he wasn't really willing to do. And he said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and cash my check right now and go play golf in Jupiter, Florida and chill for a while. The difference in Dabo and Nick Saban is Dabo's still hanging on. He is still unwilling to adapt, but he's still coaching. He's unwilling to play the NIL game. He's unwilling to play the portal game. He's still got this antiquated, if you commit to me, you can't go visit anywhere, which is not very confident way to handle things. I do think this is the end. I mean, this year, they looked putrid. I mean, he's had bust after bust on quarterbacks since Trevor Lawrence. He's had no luck. He struggled with DJ, and then you go to Cade Klubnik. That's 2 5-stars in a row. That's 2 5-stars in a row. By the way, that quarterback class of I think 2019 or 2020 – no, not 2019. I'm sorry. That's way too far. I think it's 2021 or 2022. The one that Cade Klubnik's in. It was Harsin's first year. That whole top 10 of that whole recruiting class of quarterbacks is terrible. they're not good. Now I think I understand why Harsin didn't even try to get one. Hey, why would I waste my time with a top 10 quarterback in this class? They're not any good. Yeah, right. He couldn't get one anyway. But Kelly Bryant, a good point. Somebody said Kelly Bryant. Kelly Bryant was a 3-star, and he may be better than he was. It says he was a bust, but he may have been better than Klubnik and DJ. Like he at least got him to the playoffs. And I don't really think that I see them as a playoff threat in quite a while. So great question there, Thomas Jones. Thank you for the support and whatnot on the show, man. I really appreciate it. Let's chat here this week. Let's get caught up on the game. Let's hit the comments. Chris Baker. I love that this student section stayed the entire game and cheered until the end of the game. I mean, one thing's for sure, Auburn's crowd, for the most part, is going to show up and they're going to show out. The swag surf, even though it's you know, we've been doing it for a few years now, and I understand, like, you can play things out. It just doesn't get old. It just does not get old, and they stay. They're going to stay at least till that. They're going to stay till they get to swag surf. Then they may go hit the tailgate after that. But man, that is especially on the recruiting weekend that we had, to be able to them to look up in the stands and see the electricity against essentially a completely overwhelmed team from start to finish, and you still feel the energy. Got some good crowd noise too, especially on third downs. It was a lot of fun. Our crowd is just great, man, and that's why people constantly say that Auburn's one of the toughest places to play in the country. So it's something special. It's something to be proud of, and they did it. And it doesn't matter who the opponent is. Stuart Donald, Ryan Gee again popped into another stream about an hour ago and posted good news coming soon. Well, dadgummit, Ryan, we need it to happen. We need it to happen. If you're going to tell us, you're going to tease us, let's go ahead and let it happen. No, I'm just kidding. No, he is very – Ryan Gee is very involved in the recruiting effort. He's very much in contact with a lot of guys, so I know he's connected. I know he knows the timeline of things, and I'm pretty sure he's got to be hinting about Deuce coming up this next weekend. Alvin was hinting up a lot about it. Jamichael Garrett was hinting a lot about it. Alvin's also been a key in that recruitment. They were attached at the hip basically the whole time. Taylor got some really good pictures of those two guys together. He said, and Alvin said, he was going to make it his mission going to make it his mission to go ahead and make sure that he was locked down. And although he may not have publicly gone verbal, whatever he said, whatever was said, it made everybody feel confident enough to start hitting the Twitter. Malik Autry, you saw, he said, this one's still good, okay? And he retweeted one of his earlier fat signals. Well, hello, it's pretty clear we know what he's talking about. Yeah, this one that I put in for Deuce, it's still good. It's still good. It's still going to happen regardless of the fact that he did not commit this weekend. So, yeah, love Ryan. But, hey, man, I need it to happen. Let's go ahead and make it pop. Let's go ahead and get it popping. Chris Baker, again, what would it look like with Deuce versus, I assume this is Sam, versus Walker White? It's a great question. Look, Deuce has some – he has the tools, okay, but he is a raw as it comes to being a passer. Okay, you look at his completion percentage of last year, it was in the 50s. He's done a ton of work on it in the offseason. He's worked with QB Country out of Mobile. He did really, really well at the Elite 11, which is essentially a passing camp. I mean, it's all about passing, and his accuracy has gotten better. I got to go look at his stat line from this past weekend. I know the wheels are there. He glides, okay? The wheels aren't going anywhere. He can move. He's got the physical tools, but can he be the polished passer? And then Walker's got such a big leg up on him as far as just the experience and being in the system he came in January, so he's got a whole spring under his belt. I assume Deuce is going to be an early enrollee, so they would be going at it in spring. I would give the edge slightly to Walker, but I like that battle. I mean, that makes everybody better. You got Walker White and Deuce Knight duking it out. Hey, here's what's funny. I don't even know the kid's name because he's so insignificant, but Notre Dame likes to say Deuce was scared of competition with insert whatever the kid's name is they signed last year. They signed some four-star quarterback last year. I don't know his name. His name doesn't matter. But the reason Deuce didn't want to go to Notre Dame is because he didn't want to compete with that kid. Well, you go look at the rankings. Walker White was ranked ahead of him in the QB class of that class. So Deuce was scared to go compete with this one child at Notre Dame, and it turns out that our child, Walker White, was ranked higher than their child last year at Notre Dame. So not sure that holds a ton of water. Boy, this great 5-hour energy is absolutely roaring through my veins right now, and I'm feeling it. I'm in the zone right now. So that is what I think. I think it'll be a great battle. I think I give the slight edge to Walker White right now. Daniel Denny, the Alabama game did not prove anything. Daniel, I just don't think you watch very much Auburn football, if that's the case. I don't think you watched one game last year. And if you watched one game last year to see, A, you don't have any vertical threat, no wide receiver that's a vertical threat, doesn't matter the competition, nobody could go deep. The only guy that could win a 50-50 ball at times was Rivaldo Fairweather. So if this game didn't prove anything to you, then you just can't be impressed, I guess. I guess you just can't be impressed. So that's a you thing that you got to work on, because I think most people that watched the game were very fired up. I think most people that watched the game understand where Auburn was last year and where they've come to this year. Offense looks completely different. I mean, you got multiple – if you're watching the LSU and USC game, LSU's got one guy they can go to. One guy they can go to, and he's a good one, Kyron Lacy. Auburn has multiple weapons that they can beat you deep on. Again, we'll see a little bit more of a test, but just we couldn't do that last year against Samford. We didn't have anybody that could go deep against Samford, okay? Jay Fair was your leading receiver, and he's not even playing. I don't even know that he's touched the field tonight versus USC, okay? So there's if you can't see a difference, then I think you need to get your eyes checked. NH3425, it's been a while since AU recruiting has been this lit. I love it. Hey, I'll tell you how long of a while it's been. Never. Auburn's never had a recruiting class this high currently in the history of the modern rankings. So if they don't sign another guy for the rest of the class, they have the highest rated class they've ever had. So I totally agree. It's a lot of fun. It's lit, and I'm loving it as well. It's a ton of fun. So keep on moving. Brett Moran, Daniel, why are you being a buzzkill? I mean, I don't know what he's talking about. Again, I'm sorry. Sorry if that was a little rough. I apologize. While it was an FCS opponent, this is NH3425 again. While it was an FCS opponent, I saw a different positive vibe last night. The team was more consistent and looks like they legit cared. I do think the defense needs to focus on converting more turnovers. No turnovers last night on defense. That was, you had one in your hands. You had an interception in your hands. You just jumped a little too early. JC Hart got a little eager, jumped a little too early, and then on the way down, he got some fingers on it. I thought he could have timed it a little bit better, but hey, freak stuff like that happens. It's worked to the benefit of Auburn at times, and last night it didn't. And hey, here's the cool thing. That guy made that play. He got down to the 1 yard line and they didn't score. They had a penalty. That's the thing. JC tipped it. Okay. He tipped it and the guy caught it. He could have fallen down and then just let him score and felt sorry for himself. No, after he did it, he turned around, used that that track speed that he had, and the 100-meter dash, I think state champion in his classification in high school, used that speed, made the tackle on the one. Boom, they have a pre-snap motion. Then you get a sack. Then you get a tackle for loss. Then you get another sack. Boom, you miss a field goal, and it was a score-saving play. Now, I understand that's Alabama A&M, but stuff like that could affect – that's the difference. That could be the difference between 7-3 in an SEC game. Just that effort of, hey, I almost made a play. I didn't feel sorry for myself. I turned around, went and made the play, and it erased points off the board. It went from 7-0 based off that one effort play that he made after that tip. So, yeah, you got to have some turnovers. I thought the secondary, I thought we left some guys open just a little bit. Either the quarterback missed them or there were some drops. So, got to clean a few things up. But overall, again, holding anybody to 3 points is a big night. Is a big night. Let's keep going through. Let's see here. Madison, AU Chief, opening weekend proved a lot. Even in our fan base, we saw routes run like we have not seen in years. Peyton Thorne looked like a QB. We'll add more to the story next week, I believe. I predicted the line, Madison, to open against Cal, be 13.5. I think it opened at 10.5 and quickly jumped all the way up to 12. So, I'm with you. I think Auburn adds another chapter to the book of this story of this season next Saturday, and kind of continue where they left off. Continue to push, continue to get better. And, again, Peyton looked confident. He had time. He had all day to make decisions. He looks fast. I mean, a couple of times when he pulled it and ran, he was walking away from guys. And, again, I understand some of that's the opponent, but some of it's just Peyton looks good running the ball. Not only did he make really quick decisions and make some really pretty passes, really, really pretty deep balls that he struggled with last year, I feel like he made some really good decisions in the run game too and looked good doing it. So I'm with you, Madison, AU Chief, for sure. Chris Baker, will Zion Grady flip or is he set for OSU? Zion Grady will flip to Auburn if Auburn wants Zion Grady. Let's just put it that way. I think if Auburn really wants Zion Grady, Auburn can get Zion Grady. I think they've got Herbert Scroggins a little bit higher on the board. But if push comes to shove and maybe that ship 100% sails on Scroggins, you can always circle back, I think, and they could get Zion Grady if they wanted him. I think he's a little bit of a tweener. I don't think he's got the quick explosion as an edge. Guy, a pass rusher, and I don't think he's quite big enough to end up being a defensive end. But he's a good player. He's a good player, and how crazy is it that your backup plan could be like a top 200 player? So, will Zion Grady flip? I don't think Auburn's pushing for him at the moment, but if Auburn wants him, I absolutely believe they can get him. This is something that it can be easily overlooked, but NH3425, the wide receivers had great route running. I agree. It's I joke that wide receiver is the easiest position to play. It's the easiest position to coach, but there is a art to route running. being able to set up guys with, you know, whether you're stemming a route, whether the way you lean to set them up into a cut. There's just so many things, and you watch great teams that have great wide receivers, and scheme can only get you so far. Then you have to have your natural talent that can get you open to make it happen. And Auburn, KLS is a great route runner. He is a technician. Cam Coleman ran a beautiful stop and go to that poor guy. The poor fellow had he probably tore some kind of tendon in his foot because his ankles were broken so bad. The one that his first catch, which coincidentally was also a touchdown. So I agree. Great route running. Very crisp. One of the best routes that was run the whole game. And this one's going to go unnoticed. But Bryce Kane, if you're watching, I saw it because it was dope. Bryce's deep shot is out of the slot, and it's like a smash concept where Cam and Bryce was lined up on the inside, Cam was lined up on the outside, and Cam was going to run a little dig, you know, 5 or 6 yards, and then Bryce was running like a post corner, and he faked the guy. He had the guy on skates turning in circles, and he was wide open, but Peyton delivered. Cam had such a big cushion too. It was like, I'm just going to take the easy throw. Boom. And he hit it. He hit Cam. And I think he ended up picking up a first down. But that's something I've heard they've been working on in practice. They were able to work that little combo to get Bryce deep. And it worked. And Bryce ran a beautiful route. He just didn't get the ball. So yeah, all of them, all those freshmen, man. And then obviously you got KLS, and then Robert Lewis, once he gets a little bit healthy, apparently he had a little bit of a hammy issue, and he still played and he was open a good bit of time, especially over the middle. Again, we talked about him being the safety net. That's his thing. Get in the middle of the field, sit down, find the open hole in the zone. And I think Hugh chewed Peyton out one time for missing it. I think it was the only time we punted. He kind of juiced it on KLS on the outside, and he had Robert Lewis squatting down in the middle of the field all by himself. So that's something Peyton will definitely clean up. But as Robert Lewis gets healthy, that'll be something his route running is going to help out a ton as well. So let's keep going through this. We got beer advice. We got favorite beer chatter going on in the chat. I kind of like that. Mr. Beautiful, don't like the mercy rule. I'm going to be honest, I didn't know it existed, but apparently it's been around since 2019. At any point in time, I think at halftime, they can go to the team that's getting blown out and say, hey, do you want us to shorten this thing up? And they can either agree or disagree. I think they got to make the call, though. I don't think they get to just throw it out there. I think they got to make the call. And they were just said, hey, we're here for the experience, and we got a pretty good check. You can go ahead and shorten it up. We'll go ahead. We'll get our hamburger and get on the bus and go back to the house. So, yeah. 10-minute quarters, that was weird. It really hurt though getting Walker into the game. I think that was important. And when you shorten it like that, I think it hurt getting Walker some reps, because Holden is obviously third string, and then you got Walker. Holden went in there, got to throw a couple of passes. And I think had you had 15-minute quarters, you'd have got to see Walker White. But my God, we probably would have scored 100 points, and that would have been embarrassing. I agree. That was kind of – I don't really like it, but I think it was – if there was any a time it was necessary, it was definitely last night. So let's keep digging through here. Stuart Donald, I think Babalola – this is a recruiting question, so let's take it. I think Babalola had planned to announce around this Saturday too. He has had – there's been a multiple dates that have been connected to his name. I think it's pretty clear to me he's waiting to see what's going on with Deuce. I honestly think that's what the case is. I think that's not necessarily intel, because if it's Michigan, he could have committed to Michigan 1,000 times. But if he's wanting to see what Auburn's going to do at quarterback, I mean, it kind of seems like he's waiting to see what happens with Deuce. And I've kind of felt like Auburn has edged themselves into the lead here. It does seem like that's – you know, it does seem like that's what's going on. So I think maybe by the end of next week, you could have Deuce, and then maybe shortly after that or shortly before, if they're talking, you could have Babalola too, and that would be a franchise left tackle that Auburn has hasn't had in a very long time. So, yes, he's planned to announce several times, and it's just not happened. So, and I think that's good news for Auburn. Let's keep going through here. This is funny. Mr. Beautiful Peyton will have a great year. I've already predicted 47 touchdowns. He's on a blistering pace for that. Right out the gate. Well, hey, he only had 16 all of last year. So he's already got a quarter of what he had all of last year in the first game. And again, your only FCS opponent last year, you threw one touchdown and two interceptions, and he threw four touchdowns and no interceptions in the first game. And that's Hugh's offense. Hugh's offense is throwing tutties. Okay. So get used to it. I like that number 47. Hey, I want 25. I think 25, if he can throw for over 25 touchdowns, I think Auburn's won a lot of football games and pissed off a lot of folks. So that's what I'm going with. Drew Ledoux, get that 5-hour grape. You know it, my man. Got that 5-hour grape in me and feeling good. Let's see. This goes back to the Dabo thing. Chris Baker, I think Garrett Riley is a great OC, but Dabo meddles too much. I don't pay enough attention to Clemson to know one way or the other, but it does seem like when things change, but things stay the same. Okay, and Riley had an unbelievable offense before he came over here, and now you're seeing the same issues with Clemson over and over again. So things change. Some things change, but most things stay the same. Okay. Results stay the same. You got a clogged up offense that just doesn't seem to make a ton of sense. You may be onto something. Dabo may be meddling in the offense. He was a wide receiver guy. That's another thing I wonder, because he was never a coordinator, to go from a position coach to a head coach. I wonder sometimes. I know he did have quick success. He did win some national championships, and he had a bunch of good playoff runs. But he did also get some, basically, he got in some historical quarterbacks as well. And he had a couple of really good offensive coordinators. But since those guys have gone, you've had multiple guys, and you're still seeing sort of the same results. So that you may be onto something there. He may be meddling, and that may be the case. Let's keep going through. Oh, here's a good one. Brett Moran. That is a barn member right there. Have you heard anything on Omar Mabson? He is the running back at Auburn High School, who is an absolute man child. He could be your big back and your small back all in one, 200 plus pounds, absolute beast. I think he's 2026 class. I'll have to look that up. I believe it is the 2026 class, but he is going to be on the radar, the top of the list as far as running backs go for Auburn in that 2020, whatever class is in. I think it's 2026 class. He's a priority. Auburn's definitely on him, already working him from a lot of different angles, NIL, all that stuff. He is definitely a priority. So pay attention to him. He's definitely one to watch. Let's see. This is a really good question because that was an interesting case study with Texas A&M. Have the on statistical the greatest class that's ever been had a couple of years ago under Dabo. How do you keep from becoming Texas A&M, where we have all the talent and still can't win? That is a very interesting question, and I think the answer to that is, unfortunately, Jimbo's offense. Jimbo was very similar to Dabo in that Jimbo could not evolve with the times. Jimbo was the offense. Okay. Jimbo called the plays. He was the whole identity of the offense. And as time went on, he couldn't evolve. He couldn't advance his offense. So it seemed like offense was always ended up being the issue. You could recruit. The defense was great. One of the more talented defensive fronts in college football the year he was, canned. one of the more impressive college defensive fronts that there was, but he was canned. I think what you have to do is you have to be able to be on the cutting edge. You have to be able to adapt. And Hugh's offense has always been on the cutting edge. He brought RPO offenses to the SEC. He was the one that, advanced that to the level that now you're starting to see almost a ton of RPO in the NFL. So like Hugh's offense is an NFL offense. So you can recruit at a high level, but you still have to be able to adapt as time goes on with the times. And I think he's able to do that. That's why I think that's the way you differentiate yourself. And that's the way I think that you can recruit at the level you are, but not have the tank, the tank seasons, because you're still trying to run your old stuff with great players. No, you're recruiting and then you're building your offense around those players, and you're getting, you're looking for the next great system. You're looking on ways to evolve and not do the same old, all the time. So, let's keep going through here. Smoove. Hey, people bang on Smoove. Okay. He's an Alabama fan. Okay. He watches every show, but the man will give you respect. If you earn his respect, he will give it to you. Despite being an Alabama fan, Auburn games are electric. Absolutely. Got to give props to my man Smoove. He is an Alabama fan through and through. But hey, if you earn his respect, he will give you the respect. And I agree. Auburn games are always electric. The fans just don't ever give up. Let's keep going through here. Take a couple more, and then call it an evening. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Fair. I called him out, and I'm not watching the game. So, NH3425, Fair had a drop pass earlier. That's a tough look. Tough scene there. I'm a big Jay Fair fan. He came in. He worked real hard, but, you know, it is what he is. It is what it is there. Yet you've upgraded the wide receiver room. He goes to USC, and he had a drop pass earlier. So, I don't want to say anything else about that because I like Jay Fair. Let's see here. I like this. I did not notice this because I was in the press box, but Channing Stuckey, if this is true, it makes a lot of sense. If you watched the replay, did you notice Walker White was beside Freeze and Peyton pretty much the entire time they showed the sideline? That's how you learn. That's how you can tell a kid wants to be there. That's how you tell a kid wants to get better. He's sitting there right by the coach who now calls the plays. He's listening to the plays being called. He's watching Peyton get the play. He's watching Peyton make the checks that Peyton checked into a lot of successful plays. Some of them that ended up being touchdowns. They were checks. They were audibles that Peyton called. He's sitting there absorbing all that. That's going to help you advance in this quarterback race. I didn't notice that, Channing, but I'm going to go back and watch it. If that's true, that's fire. That gets me fired up. Let's find a here's a good one. I think this may be the last one. I may take one more after this, but Josh Pine, C5, any injuries of note yesterday? I don't think there were any injuries in the game, but there is a significant injury that I think is something to be monitoring, and that's Isaiah Rikes, who did not play at all last night. And by all accounts, it was going to be a 1-2 punch with him and Jason Jones. That was sort of like the guys that were almost 1A and 1B. He did not play at all. I don't think he's practiced in a while. I don't think he's practiced in, at least a week, maybe longer. I know he didn't play in the last scrimmage at all. So that is something to monitor. I think you came out relatively unscathed otherwise. Austin Keys was held out on precautionary basis. I think he'll be back relatively quickly, but love what I saw out of the linebackers. Woodyard, Dorian Maiusi, those dudes stepped in, and Woodyard showed some closing speed that I'd never seen from him before. So it was those are the only injuries that I would say you need to be monitoring, but I think we came out relatively unscathed. I thought Perry pulled a hammy on his long touchdown, but it looked like he just kind of geared it down right before he crossed the goal line. He did not end up, he was not hurt at all. Obviously he went back in and played a little bit more, but I think that's it for the evening. If you want to make sure, there's a lot of comments. I just can't get to them all, or I'll be on here for, hours. If you want to make sure that your comment gets in, hit the super chat. You saw Thomas Jones, we started off the show with it. Hit the super chat, and I'll make sure to get to it. Otherwise, guys, I really appreciate it. Big recruiting weekend. A lot of good stuff on the horizon. And obviously, you know, I'm going to be here every single day this week talking about the game, looking at the Cal, breaking down stuff on Cal, looking ahead and what we could possibly have. But again, I really appreciate it. If you like this video, we're going to be here every Sunday night. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, hit the alert bell so you know when we're going to go live. And then if you like this video, like it, jump in the comments, and we'll have a good time. Like we did every single night. We have, I feel like we have a good time. We have some good conversation and, you know, I kind of dig it. So I really appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a great evening and we will catch you tomorrow. This is another live edition of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.